I will say this, if you've got something better than Jesus, pull it out here and let's look at it. Amen. I guarantee you ain't got nothing better than Him. Amen. When you get the Lord, you've got everything. Amen. Now, when He got me, He got nothing. When I got Him, I got it all. Amen. Now, I praise Him and thank Him for it tonight. The book of John chapter 14, a very familiar chapter to you tonight. I'll not preach anything that you've not heard before. Part of the work of the evangelist, really, is being that second witness, just coming in and really saying the same thing your pastor's been telling you, amen? And want to just do that tonight and look at these verses. If you're able, standing on in reverence to the reading the Word of God tonight, I'm glad for the Word of God, amen? And it's forever settled in heaven, and it will be the light and the lamp that we need. I don't need another thing, praise God, got His Word, and it, I'll say this, and I mean it, I've put my eternal soul, I've rested it on the Word of God, amen. How you say, preacher? By the Word. I'm glad for His Word tonight. John chapter 14, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1 tonight. John chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Then I want to read one verse of Scripture in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 20 tonight. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. The Bible said, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for the song of Zion that we've heard here tonight. Thank you for each one that's come this way. I've assembled together to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray, Lord, tonight that you touch us. I strengthen my voice and my body. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I direct you upon me that I might preach. The preaching that you bid us tonight, have your will and way, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you. Hey, Lord, save that and it's lost. Hey, stir your people. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight, the Lord being my helper, on this subject, ready or not, Jesus is coming. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. I'm glad to know that the Lord indeed is at the right hand of the Father. I'm glad He intercedes for us that are saved. I will say tonight, I'm glad I know Jesus is coming again. If it wasn't for the blessed hope, I promise you this, we as God's people, I would go slap crazy. Amen. I'm glad this life is not all there is. I know things are bad, economy's bad, not only in our country but around the world. And there's unrest everywhere. And ladies and gentlemen, all it is this world getting ready for the Antichrist. I'm glad we that are saved. Amen. I'm glad we're headed to the city whose builder and maker's God. I'm glad I know my friend, that Jesus is coming soon. Yes, sir. My friend, I'm telling you, as I look around me, I'm more excited and looking for Him to come than I've ever been in my Christian life. By the way, it'll fix every problem I've got, every bit of trouble. The coming of the Lord will fix it. Amen. My friend, let me say this. It's all right with me to go from East to Larka as sure as it is from Leicester. Amen. It don't matter where I am. I'm looking forward out for the Lord to come again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, all we have to do is look around us. Amen. I know that we're not looking for signs. I understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, as you read your Bible and look at events around you, you can tell that this thing is shaping up for the coming of the Lord. Preacher, there's no doubt in my mind we're living in the last days. Just as the Bible describes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are right there in the last days. It is perilous times. Men are lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. There's a lot of things talked about in that chapter that we see tonight all around us, all over this country. From this country and this world is, my friend, shaping up for Jesus to come again. Oh, I say tonight, ready or not, Jesus is coming. Most of you like me when you was little, you played hide and seek. And there's always one chose to count. And everybody else scurry off and go hide. But when that one was done counting, they'd holler out, "Ready or not, here I come." I want to say that's what the Lord sent me by this way to say tonight. Ready or not, He's on the way. It could be tonight. It could be in the morning. It may be next week or next month or next year. I don't know when. Nobody else does. But I do know He is coming. Amen. And I'm looking out for Jesus to come again. Someone say, "Preacher, you act plumb excited about this." You got it. Amen. It don't scare me. It excites me. Amen. I'm saying tonight I'm pillow my head. Friend, whether I wake up here in glory, it's all right. Amen. Or if Jesus comes, it's all right. I'm looking for Jesus to come again. Amen. Well, I want to give you three things tonight. As we think on that thought, ready or not, Jesus is coming. Number one, I'll look at the promise of His coming. There is the promise of His coming. Someone say, "Now, preacher, don't you understand? Nearly 2,000 years they've been preaching how Jesus is coming, yeah, and He's closer now than He's ever been." Amen. And by the way, let me throw this out. When that crowd begins to say they don't believe it, they are fulfilling the Word of God. For the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, He said this, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Ladies and gentlemen, they scoff, they make fun. But all they're doing is proving what thus saith the Lord God of heaven. Amen. He said in the last days they would scoff at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. They disprove it. Amen. I want to throw this out. Listen to me good. As you study the Old Testament, we find prophecy after prophecy that talked about His first coming. That He'd be born in Bethlehem, that He'd die for the sin of the world, that He'd resurrect. How we see those prophecies and they came to pass. Why would not the prophecies of the second coming not come to pass? Amen. I'm going to tell you, as sure as His first coming happened, His second coming will happen. Amen. Ready or not, Jesus is coming again. There's the promise of His coming. First of all, the Savior promised Him. He said, "If I go away, I will come again." Amen. Amen. That's what He said there in John 4, verse 3 there. He said, "I go away, I will." He didn't say, "I might." He didn't say, "I'll think about it." He didn't say, "If you'll do real good, I'll show up." But He said, "I will come again." Now, I'll tell you something. Brother Tim, as a pastor, we may promise one another a lot of things and mean to come through. As your pastor said, it's been about 2 years ago, Brother Tim began to talk to me about coming. I said, "All right, this day," and I wasn't able to fulfill it. Amen. I promised to come, but I just couldn't. I come through with it. But you know what? When the Lord makes a promise, He will not fail. Amen. Hey, the Bible said in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 that God cannot lie. And He's promised to come again. Therefore, I know He will. Amen. Oh, the Savior's promise to come again. Revelation 22:20, we read, He said, surely I come quickly. He is coming. Not only the Savior's promised it, but the Scriptures have promised it. Boy, I'm thankful for an infallible, inspired Bible. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't know if you can trust all of it. Boy, you better be able to trust all of it or you're in trouble. Amen. This Bible is trustworthy. There ain't one mistake in it. It's perfect. It's right. And friend, this Bible declares to us that Jesus is coming again. I fought afresh this morning. My friend, as the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven, Peter and those other disciples stood there. And boy, they watched him go out of sight. Those two in white apparel stood there and looked down and said, why? I stand you gazing up to heaven. This same Jesus. Amen. Not another Jesus. Not a Mormon Jesus or some other cult Jesus. But this same Jesus that came through the womb of a virgin. I lived a sinless life. I took your place and took my place. Yonder on Calvary. I bled and died that our sin debt I could be paid in full. I was buried and rose again 3 days and three nights later. That same Jesus that's a send it to the Father. It's the same Jesus that will come again. I want to say this. I've never seen Him with my natural eye. Neither have you. Neither has anybody else in our dispensation. Amen. I want to tell you this. We'll know Him on sight. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but boy, I have. Now, get think about this. How is everybody going to know Him? I'm going to tell you how we're going to know Him. We've known Him by heart. Amen. By faith in my heart, I believe Him. I called upon Him, and He saved me. Therefore, I will know Him. They won't have to point Him out. I thank God I'll know Him on sight. Praise God. Oh, listen, friend, there's a promise of His coming. I don't know what you're facing tonight, but the Lord sent this preacher by your way to remind you this world's not our home. We're not going to be here forever. The trials you're facing won't be forever. By the way, you realize this. I've preached this for years, and it's right. One of these days, we'll go through our last trial. Amen. We'll carry our last heartache. We'll shed our last tear. Amen. We'll have our last burden to bear. Thank God. And the Lord Jesus will come get us and take us out of here. Man, that stirs me up. I mean, that makes me want to shout her out, friend. I don't tell you, you're looking at somebody that's looking forward to getting out of this mess. I'm saying goodbye to this world and hello, Jesus. Amen. There's the promise of His coming. He's promised us that are saved. I will come again. Can I say secondly, I want to look also at the purpose of His coming. Not only the promise of His coming, I will come again, but the purpose of His coming. What is His purpose, preacher? Number one, to resurrect and rapture the saints. Amen. Now you listen to me well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is still in the Bible. He said He's going to descend one day in verse 16 with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Hey, you listen to me. Friend, the purpose of His coming is to resurrect and to rapture. Amen. Now, I want to remind you of a great truth. We don't bury believers. Amen. I've not buried anybody saved. No. I've planted them. Amen. You bury something just to get it out of sight. But you plant it looking for it to come up. Amen. I want to tell you, we planted those that have died in Christ. And my friend, when Jesus comes, they will come up. Amen. As a pastor, I've followed a many hearse and preached a many a funeral. But thank God one day, preacher, there'll be a resurrection. And we'll get changed also. And there'll be a reunion take place in the sky. I'm telling you, friend, we've just had to say goodbye for a little while down here. But one day in each eternal hello, it will begin. Amen. I'm saying today the purpose of His coming is to resurrect and to rapture the saints. There are some would say, now preach, that word rapture ain't in the Bible. You're right. But the teaching is, because that word called up there, that word there, about like a harpoon. That word means to seize, to snatch away, to catch away, to pluck, to pull. It means to take by force. Amen. That's what the word rapture means. Yes, sir. By the way, somebody said, preacher, why did I say to seize and snatch and catch and to pluck? I'm going to tell you something. When we leave here, where are we going to have to go through? We're going to have to go through there. What is Ephesians chapter 6? What does the Bible say? Who was the prince of power of the air? We're going through his territory, and we're going to say, bye, devil. Amen. On the way out, he's going to get us out of here. Amen. Ain't a thing the devil or anybody else can do about it. Amen. We find his purpose is to resurrect and rapture. But I also want to say this, to receive the saints. For he said there in John 14:3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That word receive means to take to or to receive near. I want to remind you a great truth tonight, church. He is longing for you to be with him, probably more than we want to be with him. Now you figure that out. He really wants you with him. He died for you. That's how serious he was about it. Without that, we would have died and went to hell. But the Lord in mercy, thank God, loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. And we find that he wants to receive us unto himself one day. Not only that, but not only to resurrect and rapture and receive the saints, but number three, to reward the saints. We're told that he's coming with it and his reward will be with him. Book of Revelation, 2 Corinthians 5:10, talks about we must all appear before the judgment seat. 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul said, I'll get a crown, not me on, but all them that love his appearing. Hey, friend, there'll be a rewarding day. He's coming to reward the saints. Now, I want to help you right here. This is a subject that is very highly misunderstood, but listen to me real good. Salvation is 100% free. You can't earn salvation. You can't work for salvation. You can't give up enough for salvation. You can't turn over enough new leaves for salvation. You can't do better enough for salvation. How baptism won't save you. Church membership won't save you. How being a good old boy won't save you. Are you hearing me? But salvation is the free gift of God. Amen. Not a word says any man should boast. Amen. You give your child a true gift. You're not handing them a gift and I'm giving you this as long as you do this, this, and this. If you're given supposedly given a gift, it ain't a gift. It's a bribe. Amen. God didn't give us a bribe for salvation. He gave us a free gift. Didn't do anything to deserve it or earn it. Amen. He said, come unto me. I did. I called, as his word said also, and he saved me. Amen. Now, I know I get all stirred up sometimes, that kind of bug dives people, you know. And, oh, but hey, I don't feel saved every day, but I know I am every day. Amen. Why? He moved in me. He lives in me. Amen. Hey, friend, salvation is free, but rewards are earned. Amen. Now, you think about this here. About, to me, one of the greatest examples of this thing, rewards, is the Olympics. Our country enters the summer and the Winter Olympics when they come around. And when the opening games, those opening ceremonies take place, all those that are a part representing America are in the same uniform. They're under the same flag. They're under the same national anthem. And boy, what a blessing that is. I tell you, you're looking at a preacher that still loves his country. Amen. I am proud to be an American. But ladies and gentlemen, when all them games are done, the only ones that take medals home are them that earned them. They don't give them to everybody. Amen. And understand, if you don't live for God and don't labor for Him, there'll be no reward at the judgment. Yes, you'll be saved, yet so as by fire, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches. You are going to heaven. Amen. All saved people will go to heaven. But all saved people ain't getting a reward. Because everybody ain't laboring. Amen. That don't get preached much, and that don't make folks shout neither. I'll be real honest with you there. But that's right. Amen. I tell you, I want to have an abundant interest, don't you? I like to have something. Friend, when we sing that new song, hey, the Bible said they'll keep those that have 420 elders on. Revelation 4, Revelation chapter 5. And that's us. That's us that are saved. When we began to sing that new song, worthy, worthy. Boy, we'll cast the crowns that we've earned at His feet. What are we doing? We're saying, Lord, You done it. You just let me have a part. Amen. And I want to give You this back. I want to give You this crown. And say, thank You for letting me serve You. I want to have something to lay at His feet. I don't want to be empty-handed at the judgment. Do you? I want to have something laid before. So we find that when He comes, part of His purpose is to reward the saints. Then number three, not only see the promise of His coming, the purpose of His coming, but number three, we find the promptness of His coming. He said there in Revelation 22:20, surely I come quickly. Now that word quickly means, and I'm not trying to insult you, intelligence, but I want to emphasize, remind you the definition of that word quickly. It means shortly. Someone says, uh-huh, I got you right there, preacher. It's been nearly 2,000 years. Have you read the book of Peter lately? For he said, a day to the Lord will be like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Amen. Oh, yeah. Why? The Lord's outside of time. He's in eternity looking in time. We're the ones controlled by time. But if you want to look at time, as far as He's concerned, He's been gone 2 days. Amen. By the way, let me throw this out. I used this in a funeral a while back. Boy, it helped me help that family too. If you live, now listen to this, if you live to be 100 years old, if you're looking at Peter and that verse, a day is 1,000 years is a day, and you think about that, and think about it real good. If you live to be 100, that means you, in the eyes of God, you've only lived 10% of one day. What about that? Amen. See, He's not affected by time. He said, I'm coming quickly. Amen. And it also says without delay. It means soon or by surprise. It's going to surprise some. Amen. And suddenly, hey, Jesus has come. You think about this. One moment you're walking on dirt and the next you're walking on gold. Amen. That's how quick He's coming. One moment you're in a body wrecked in pain and trouble and the next you're in a glorified body. One moment you're riding down the road in the car and the next you're sailing through the air without an airplane. Amen. Hey, quickly, Jesus is coming. Hey, the promise, He is coming on time. The Bible declares to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, for yet a little while. Just a little while. Amen. And he that shall come and will not tarry. Amen. Hey, He's coming again. Now listen to me well before I close tonight. Everybody listen to me just a minute. There is nothing you or I can do that will speed up or delay the coming of Jesus. Amen. You can pray that prayer, wait a little longer, Jesus, all you want to. You can say, come quickly right now. Won't you come right now? Just pray, pray, pray. There is a day appointed, the Father has said. And Jesus will not be 1 minute early, nor will He be 1 minute late. He is going to be right on time. Amen. Hey, I'm glad when He comes, I'm going.
That's right.
Yes, sir. You want this world, have it. Amen. Just give me Jesus. Amen. Hey, you have that Jehovah Witness crowd come by, knock on the door, a good way to get rid of them, tell them they can have the earth, you're going to get heaven. Amen. Hey, you get told by getting saved by the blood, boys, that kind of tears the nerves up. I'm telling you what, because of that bloodshed on Calvary that's been applied to my heart, I'm heaven bound with the hammer down tonight. Amen. Hey, Jesus is coming again. Some asked, preacher, why would you take tonight and preach on the coming of the Lord? Well, two reasons. Well, first of all, the Lord told me to. But secondly, the second coming, preaching on the second coming according to 1 John chapter number 3, verses 2 and 3, we find in those verses, and I want to take just a moment, I want to read these tonight. I want to read them to you so I don't miss none of it. Don't want you to miss none of it. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, the Bible said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. I don't have to wait till I die to find out if I'm saved. I'm right now been saved. I'm one of His. Now we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Verse 3 is where I'm getting to. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. You see, if we really keep in mind that at any moment Jesus could come, we'd live better. We'd live more for the Lord. We'd live a cleaner life than what we do if we keep in mind at any moment Jesus could come again. I found myself lately, and I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit doing this for me. I'm thinking, I mean, just at different times in the day, and it may not be every day. Sometimes it's been more than one time in the day. And He'll speak to my heart and say, "Son, this could be the day. This could be the hour." Amen. You know what that very thought coming through my mind did? It made me think, boy, what you been doing today? What are you going to do with the rest of the day God allows you to live? Amen. You see, the blessed hope is a purifying hope. It helps us to do right, live right, when we realize at any moment Jesus is coming again. You're here lost tonight. You say, "Preacher, how can I go?" Jesus gave you the answer, John 14:6. He said, "I am the way." Not a way, but the way. Amen? There ain't but one. The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The media and Washington and Raleigh, since 9/11, trying to get you to just believe everybody's all in one big old bunch and everybody's way's all right and everybody can go to heaven a different way. But that ain't so. There's one way. And that's Jesus. And you'll go by Jesus or you won't go. Amen. Hey, I'm glad for the day I called upon Him. He saved me by His marvelous grace. Friend, how is it tonight? Are you ready? Should Jesus come tonight, are you ready to meet the Lord? I'm glad I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I mean, it's settled. Now, and I said this the other night, preaching a revival meeting. I'm going to say it with you tonight. Because I really want you to take a real good look into your own heart. You understand that there ain't but one person in this building that I know 100% sure saved, and that's me. Amen. I'm 99% about some of you because you've got the evidence of it. Amen. But I can't go beyond 99 because I don't really know your heart. Amen. And you look at me at 99% because you can't see my heart. But I can tell you without a doubt, I'm born again. And I hope you can say without a doubt that you are saved, your name written in heaven, and heaven's going to be your home. Amen? No greater joy than being saved and knowing it. Father, take the message tonight. Use it for your honor and glory. I pray encourage the people of God. I pray for that that's lost here tonight. Lord, would you indeed, Lord, convict their heart. Lord, I pray, deal with them that they'll repent and turn to you for salvation before it's everlasting too late. Lord, all you do in this invitation, we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name.